Welcome! My name is Professor Steve Elzinga, and I will be with you the next 12 weeks, or however long it is that you take this class. That's the beauty of online classes. It's a communication class, and I don't know if you've ever taken a class like this before, but this could possibly change your whole life. Communication affects your relationship to God, your relationship to your spouse, your relationship to children if you have any, relationship to friends, extended family, your relationship to work, your relationship to your community. It affects everything. Before we begin, I want you to imagine for a minute that you can't see. In fact, I want you to imagine that you've never been able to see. You've never seen a sunset, a sunrise. You've never seen your mother or your father, your brothers or your sisters. You've never seen a friend. You've never seen an animal. You've never seen your house. You've never seen anything in your entire life. And then I want you to imagine that you've never heard anything either. Your ears don't work. You've never heard the sound of running water. You've never heard the sizzle of something frying in a fry pan. You've never heard your name being called. You've never heard the voice of the people that you love and care about. This was true about Helen Keller. She was both deaf and blind. Never saw anything, never heard anything. So the only thing she could do is smell. She could smell the food around her. She could taste. And she could feel. And that was it. Can you imagine that kind of world? You wouldn't know that people exist. You've felt your parents, you felt the food that you would eat, you could smell that food, you could taste that food, but you'd have no connection to it. You'd have no way of thinking about things. You know, when we sit for a while and we close our eyes, we can think about yesterday, we can think about today or what we're going to do, or we could have some memory. But we're using words. Helen Keller didn't have any words. She had smell, she had taste, and she had feeling. This would feel like this, and that would feel like that, but she had no way to put any word to those things. Then Anne Sullivan, a teacher, decided to help her. And she worked hard at trying to get her to understand that the little shapes that she was forming in her hand, because, you know, she couldn't show her words on a page. There weren't letters to learn. So she had to form the letters with her hand. So all Helen Keller could do is feel that someone is doing something with her hand. That's it. And then somehow different feelings would represent different things. And Helen Keller had a hard time getting that. It's like one feeling relates to another feeling because that's all she had. She could feel water, and then she could feel Anne Sullivan making a different feeling in her hand. They're two totally different feelings. Why would one thing represent the other? Well, eventually, Helen Keller understood that this represents this. That this feeling in my hand represents this other feeling, water in my hand. And from there, all of a sudden, words became alive. And because words became alive, concepts became alive, and Helen Keller actually became a brilliant speaker. Well, not a speaker, but a signer. She could understand incredibly complex things just by this feeling representing that feeling. It's a miracle, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. The gift of communication is one of the most amazing gifts that God has given us as human beings. And when you start to think about it, it almost blows your mind. Well, let's look at what this communication thing is. Three questions that we're going to look at in this course. Number one, we're going to look at what is communication. What is communication? How would you define it? Secondly, why is it worth studying? Why are we going to take 12 weeks and study this thing called communication? And finally, how can learning how to communicate change your life for the better? And it will. The more you learn about how to communicate, the more it will change your life for the better. So, what is communication? Communication is a two-way process of reaching mutual understanding in which participants not only exchange, encode, and decode information. Okay, that's what Helen Keller was doing. We first encode it. This hand feeling means this. And then we decode it when the other person understands it. News, ideas, feelings, but also it creates shared meaning. In general, communication is a means of connecting people and places. Communication, from the Latin communicare, meaning to share, is the act of conveying intended meanings from one entity or group to another through the use of mutually understood signs and semiotic rules. So, I can use the word house in English, but if you don't speak English, you won't understand what I'm saying. I just got back from Ecuador. They would say casa. Casa is a different symbol, group of symbols, that mean the exact same thing that in English the word house means. Three parts to communication. First of all, there's the message giver. I want to communicate something to you. Then there is the message, there's what I communicate, and then there's the message receiver. There's a message problem. Okay, there's the giver of the message, there's the receiver of the message, and in the middle is the message. The problem is with the message. I am saying something to you, but you're not hearing what I am saying. There's the whisperer game, it's called. And if you're with a group of friends, you can try this. One person whispers something to someone else. They whisper maybe what they did that morning. You know, I got up this morning and I dressed in a blue shirt and I went to the store and I said this thing to a certain person, okay? Then that person has to whisper it to the one person. And then that person has to whisper it to the next guy and the next guy, the next guy, the next guy. And as it goes around the room, people forget details and they add details. And finally, at the end of the game, the last person says what supposedly the first person said, and you'll be amazed at how different it is. Because little nuances get lost along the way. And that's a problem with all communication. I want to say something, but you're not hearing what I'm saying. It's the basis of all the brokenness we see in the world. It's the basis of husbands and wives not getting along. It's the basis of parents. I told you this, and the kid didn't hear that. He does something else. And then the parent is upset because the kid didn't do what he was told to do. Or if you're a boss and you're telling your workers to do something, and then you come back and they did it all wrong. And you're going like, well, how can this be? I explained this. But they heard something different than what you thought you explained to them. Symbols. The message is communicated and understood by the use of symbols. A symbol is something that points to something else. For example, a ring. I'm wearing a ring. This is my wedding ring. I lost my original wedding ring, and my grandfather lived to be 100 years old, and he died at 100 years old, and this was his ring. So I took his ring as my wedding ring. So I have this wedding ring, and it stands for my faithfulness to my wife. It stands for my marriage. Now, this ring is not my marriage. It only stands for my marriage. It's a symbolic expression of my marriage, but it's not the marriage itself. That's what words do. A word, a spoken word, or a written word, a language, nonverbal, face, hands, body. All these things stand for something else. If I were to take my hand and go like this, okay, it's just a hand going through the air, but it communicates something to you. If you were coming towards me and I went like this, it means to stop. Or if I did this, it means to come. But my hand is just making movements. But you interpret these movements as meaning something, and you react accordingly. Kinds of communication. Spoken or verbal communication, face-to-face or phone, so we speak our words, we say things verbally. Nonverbal communication, it's language, it's dress, gestures, it's how we dress, all these things communicate something. Written communication, letters, emails, books, messaging. So we have spoken, we have nonverbal, we have things that are written down. Visualizations, graphs, charts, maps, logos, the whole world of media. Right now maybe you're on your phone and you're watching this video. You're seeing images, and these images communicate something to you. Kinds of communication. You can kind of think of the five senses that we have. You can see things. You can hear things. You can feel things. You smell things. You can taste things. Well, what does communication actually do? Communication actually connects us to one another. It also disconnects us. Communication can bring us together. We can talk about things. We can agree on things. I say some encouraging things to you. You feel good about it. You end up liking me. Communication can build relationships, but communication can also destroy relationships. I can say harsh things to you. I can say mean things to you. I can criticize you, and it can create distance between us. All right. What are the basic forms of communication? There's the spoken word, as I mentioned before. There's the written word. There's the electronic word, that we have a lot of that today. Let's just think about the spoken word. The spoken word is accessible to all. If you speak my language, I can speak to you and you can understand it. We can all use it. It's easy. You don't need a computer. You don't need a phone. I just open my mouth and say something. You have ears, you hear it. It can be powerful because I'm speaking. You can see the emotion. You can hear the emotion. You can see the way I'm, or you can hear the way I'm putting my words together. You can see my facial expression if I'm frustrated or if I'm angry or if I'm happy or if I'm smiling. You can see all that's my whole body language, my very presence. Now, you're watching this as a video. You're looking at a phone at this small thing. But if I was face to face, see, I'd be right there. And it's very powerful, or it can be very powerful. It's personal. It's me talking to you. And we have to be there together to make it happen. It's limited exposure. Now, because this is an electronic communication, it's unlimited exposure. You can watch this over and over and over and over again. But if we were face to face, we have a conversation and it's done. We don't get to do it again. The rest of the world doesn't get to see what we're doing or how or what we're talking about. It's very temporary. So most conversations that we have with people are very temporary. We have a conversation and then it's gone. And a week later, we're wondering what we said. Or we might be confused about what we said. All right, the written word. The written word is accessible to readers and writers. You have to be able to read or write to do something with the written word. And much of the world doesn't know how to read or write. Words must do what body language and voice inflection cannot do. So if you're reading a book and someone is angry, you can't see that they're angry. So the words have to convey it. So when you're writing, you have to be more colorful with your words to communicate what you want to communicate. As I'm speaking, I don't have to have exactly the right words because a lot of who I am is expressing how I feel. But in writing and reading, it has to be very expressive just with the words. It can be personal, depending on how well you write, or it can be very distant because the author is somewhere else. You're reading what someone wrote, but you don't get to meet the author. You don't know his background. You can't feel what he's maybe feeling. It's unlimited exposure. Once you write it down, 1,000 years later, someone could read what you wrote. And it can be permanent. You write it down, and it might be permanent. Now, most of what we write down will be lost or burned or who knows, or destroyed. But who knows? Maybe something you write will be read by somebody 1,000 years from now. The electronic word, okay? The electronic word is what you're participating in right now. Electronic word is by all the electronic mails and emails and messaging, and even the phone that we use is electronically digitized. This video that you're watching, the movies that we watch, the media, the Googling, all these things are part of the electronic world that we live in, and it's accessible to all connected to the web. It's amazing. I mean, I don't know where you're listening, where in the world you are as you're listening to this, but you could be on the other side of the world from me. This could be 10 years later, and here you are watching it as if I'm talking to you right now. It's the whole electronic world is changing everything, and it's accessible to not just the one person that you might be talking to, but it's accessible to everyone, the whole world. Words must do what the body language and voice inflection cannot. So if it's a written electronic thing, again, you have the problem of trying to be expressive with written words. It can be personal, it can be distant, it has unlimited exposure. And here's the thing you have to realize, that when you put things on the web, you have no control of it, number one, and it can be permanent. So this is what communication is. On the next lecture, we're going to ask what it really does.